You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books, and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system, so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again. Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
I got stuff for you.
Holy moly.
I need to get some snakes and release them around my house.
But they love eating people. They love eating kids.
These guys are the scientists of the supernatural, lecturers leaving lessons for inquiring laymen. They are applying the scientific method to a world that baffles science. They are the cryptids of the corn.
Every day that you open your mouth,
I know, right?
I'm more convinced that you're abducted by aliens.
No.
And it just stood up. I mean, it just like kept going and going. And she goes, what the?
These are idiots.
I was laughing reading this because I already knew how you would feel.
Idiot. What part of the story fits your balloon?
Well,
this isn't a UFO. Yeah.
But who else has big black wings and red eyes?
Batman.
Well, Mothman.
Oh, yeah, Mothman.
Well, everyone, I think we know exactly what it is. So say it all with me. It was the Sandhill Crane.
Would you try it?
No.
You wouldn't eat it?
No.
Why?
Because they're probably toxic.
There'd be a lot of poop in my pants. Seeing a 6-foot alligator go swinging through the air and slam into a tree.
Hello, hello, and welcome back to Cryptids of the Corn Podcast. I am the great and powerful mystery.
And I'm Jay Clone, 1147. And I think that intro could get us canceled.
Why?
I don't know. I don't know.
I never know what I'm going to do until about 2 seconds before I start talking.
Well, yeah. If they could hear that intro, they'd know I'm the same way.
Oh, yeah. Welcome back. We're going to talk about a listener-submitted story from Scott.
Oh, okay.
Ohio, some strange happenings here in Ohio.
Oh, a local story, huh?
Yeah. Not extremely local to us, but yes.
Ohio local.
Mm-hmm.
World local.
Before we get rock and rolling, remember, we have a live show coming up. What is the date?
Gosh, June 14th. I mean,
it's like 3 weeks away, 2 weeks away.
As we're recording this, as this comes out, I think it's this weekend.
Oh, gosh, I think you're right.
I think it is, yeah.
So, hey, if you're coming out to see us, it's going to be a lot of fun.
Yep, this is your last chance to get your tickets and come see us. We're selling tickets at the door as well. June 14th, Crypts of the Corn and Michael Thompson live at Norita Lanes, 1182, State Route 235, Ada, Ohio, 45810. come hang out with us.
I'm glad you know the address that well.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
I've been saying it for long enough.
Over half my life.
Working on kids' books, a series of kids' books, and I'm going to guess next maybe couple months.
We are conjuring new ideas up to do.
Yeah, JB, the guy that's been doing some awesome t-shirts for us, is the illustrator for it. So he's getting his first illustrator credit.
Mm.
That's exciting.
It's very exciting.
He'll actually be in the copyright framework as an illustrator.
Oh, all right. Good deal.
So that's awesome.
Well, he should be, yeah.
I mean, yes, he deserves it. But
right, yeah. I love his drawings or art. I want to say paintings almost, but it's digital paint.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's exciting. Anything else happening that we should mention?
Jamboree's coming up.
Oh, yeah. Get your tickets for the Jamboree.
Yep. Jamboree, October 4th, the first Saturday of every October, every year. It'll be a reoccurring thing.
We'll see.
War Memorial Park this year. So that would be October 4th this year.
There's always a chance the last one will do.
Yeah. This could be the last one. You never know. You never know what tomorrow is going to bring.
Yeah, so Scott submitted the story. I've only read a little bit of it. I stopped reading. just because I like being, you know, as surprised as you are when it comes to listener stories.
Oh, yeah.
You ready?
Oh, yeah.
So this begins shortly after I purchased my first home in 2016 in New Marshfield, Ohio, which is in Athens County. I have his address here. I'm not going to read it, obviously. But I've been right down by his house, like past his house dozens and dozens of times.
Oh, really? Okay.
Mm-hmm. Well, I lived in Hocking for a year and a half.
Well, yeah. So you were riding on that road specifically. Yeah. That's crazy.
He's very close to Nick's house.
Oh, okay. Small world.
Mm-hmm. If you'd like an exact address, you know, blah, 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 it's down here.
Yeah. Let's share that.
Yeah. It's a nice 5-acre plot of land with open fields, half wooded. I sat just across from the Waterloo Wildlife Area. An event spanned in the fall of 2016 until summer of 2020. So 2020.
So 4 years.
4 years. Yep. We moved in the fall near the end of October. So before I even continue with reading that, that's interesting to me because that's in Northwest Ohio when I think most of our activity ends. And I've always talked that I think they go down south for the winter, not because of the cold, because of food abundance.
Right, yeah.
Specifically this area, I think that a lot of them head to.
Mm-hmm. The Hocking Hills area.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So it's interesting to me that his stuff started in October.
Hmm. Right. So you're insinuating my northern species migrating south.
Yeah, yeah.
And those sightings ramping up, or activity ramping up. Yep. Just to that fact.
The first thing we heard was horrendous or hideous screams in the middle of the night. It woke myself and my two dogs up, and it sounded like a moose was just outside the front of our house.
Hmm.
By the time I had grabbed my rifle and a spotlight and threw the door open, there was nothing outside.
Okay, so here we go. This is the very, not typical, but the signs. We got the signs here.
So do you think it just hid from him, or do you think it was like more like how...
Well, he's saying it sounded like it was directly outside.
Yeah, that's what I've gotten so far. And Scott's going to listen to this episode and give us some feedback.
Okay, cool. Okay.
So if you have any questions, Scott's an avid listener.
Okay, good. Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm assuming he's hearing it directly outside, opens the door, bam, nothing there. So just like with the sightings and accounts we've heard from the Hocking Hills area, bluff charges and things to scare you off.
Very scary. Yeah.
Yeah.
Not a lot of harm done.
Never. Hardly ever. Yeah. But a lot of scary situations or scary, frightening feelings.
Yes. Yeah. And it reminds me a lot of like what Ron would talk about being in that cabin up in the Sierra Mountains.
Yeah, Ron Moorhead.
Mm-hmm. Where they would hear them right outside the door and then they would peek the camera out and there's nothing there.
Nothing at all.
So is that projecting the sound or is it that they're interdimensional and he's there but he's not there?
Right, yeah. Yeah, we don't know exactly which one, but it's happening. It's a repeated phenomena.
Mm-hmm. So the following spring, we got some chickens, turkeys, goats, and a potbelly pig.
Ooh, good start.
It was, I mean, yeah, all those are great animals.
Mm-hmm.
I don't personally care for potbelly pigs.
Hey,
but if you want a pet pig, that's your pet pig.
Are they pet or are they for meat or?
I think they're, I may be mistaken. I'm pretty sure they were bred specifically for pet quality in mind.
Oh, okay.
But I may be wrong on that.
I think I shared it on here. My great-grandma had a pet pig that
I've known some that are housebroken and stuff like that.
This one, yeah, they would spend time in the house with them and the kids, which would be my grandma, she said they would just bring it in. It was like the dog.
Yeah, yeah. There's plenty. Remember the pet store in Toledo was like that.
Okay.
They had like just a big like 200-pound potbelly pig.
Oh, okay.
It was like a dog though. It had a litter box and everything.
Gosh, that's funny.
I mean, it was a massive litter box.
Right. But yeah.
He knew to go over there and a big do his mud business. Hole. Pig. Yeah. Anyways. Potbelly pigs. It was around this time we began noticing the wood knocks and whistles. I worked morning shifts, so I'd get out to feed the animals around 5 a.m. every morning. Many times when I would step off the back porch, I would hear a high-pitched whistle or a wood knock up on the hill of my property. We also noticed a lot of wood knocking in spring mornings when we were a light drizzle out. Not sure why, it just seemed to be more frequent then. There would often be knocks near my property and another in the distance seeming to come from the direction of the wildlife area. So yeah, before I continue, yeah, let's talk about that. So he's getting wood knocks. He was hearing them. He's getting out there like 5 a.m. So it's still dark.
Mm-hmm.
Hearing whistles and knocks. It seems like when it's when it's raining, they are more frequent.
Hmm.
So I've seen his property. He is like flatlanded like Nick is.
Yeah.
Around all the hills.
Uh-huh.
So my first thought was that when it's raining, I wonder if they're coming down for either taking advantage of food sources, or they are getting out of, you know, certain conditions that they live up in the hills part.
Mm-hmm.
Or I don't know. I wonder if they're.
Or if it's the moisture in the air and it, I don't know, the current, like the electric current going through the air is more.
The transdimensional cables?
Yeah, they're more active or more. I can't even think of the right words, but I don't know. It gives a more. What's the word when, like, conductive, you know, like. Yeah. Like electricity running underwater, very conductive, or through water. I mean, not underwater, but
water's not very conductive.
Oh, it's
not,
well, you can get shocked. You know, you get shocked really bad mm-hmm. if you throw something in the water.
Did you know that water is a very poor conductor?
Ah, well, then there goes my theory with the water in the air.
It disperses electricity.
Well, maybe through the dispersal, it's easier to.
It's the stuff in the water that's a conductor.
Ah, okay.
That's why when we were doing surveys, we had to do a water test first.
See what's in there.
Well, yeah, so we'd have to set our dissolved solids meter. On the shock unit.
To match it, basically.
Yeah, because there was some why it was so low that we physically could not put enough electricity in to shock the fish.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm. Like, there would be some that would be scoring, like, parts per million is what it is, but it'd be, like, 46, so it's nothing. There's nothing in that water.
Well, why is it so dangerous when you throw a toaster in the bathtub?
Because that's a lot of electricity in a very little area.
Gotcha. Fair enough.
Yeah, and it's not going anywhere. You're in it.
You're right, yeah.
Because the dissolved solids are you.
I guess a river is different.
All right. Dissolved solids are you.
Fair.
So, yeah, it's not really wanting to go in the water. It's wanting to go in you. Because you are full of salt.
It wants to go on the counter and have bread go into it.
Yeah. So, yeah, the whistles and stuff like that. So, I don't know if it's... Do you think they're sneaking on his property? Or do you think they're just alerting everybody like, hey, there's somebody out here?
I mean, could be. Oh, I think they already know that. No one's seen the house there.
I mean that he's active
right,
at the
yeah.
time.
Maybe.
Because even on my property, they would come all the way. I only right. seen the one time.
Right.
But I know for a fact they were active into our property. Like,
for sure.
In like corners and stuff like that of our property.
With the car hoods being stacked. Yeah. And yes.
Yeah, all that stuff. I mean, they were going in our barn and there was only one way in the barn.
Right, yeah.
So... Is it like that maybe they're doing something similar and being like, hey, you know, he's out. He's, yeah. you know, he's moving around.
I mean, it could be.
Or even crossing the property. Like,
yeah.
Don't come down right now. There's a guy out here.
Gotcha. Yeah, I mean, very well could be. Just some form of communication amongst each other. And two, the wood knocks thing is just, we still don't know what that is.
I have found very, very little evidence of people physically seeing
Yeah.
wood knocks happening.
Well, yeah, exactly. That's from, I mean, and as many people we've ever talked to, as many as witnesses we've ever, you know, spoken with, not one has ever physically seen one.
That we've personally dealt with.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. Where they've seen grab a stick or a log or whatever, knock a tree and make that sound. It just sounds like it.
Yeah.
And so we recreate it that way, and we're just putting it on there. It doesn't mean that's what it is. I'm not convinced that is what it is. It doesn't make much sense to me. When we know they can yell great distances or make their voice heard great distances, mm-hmm. you don't need a tree knock to communicate, is in my opinion.
I'm halfway between thinking it's an actual noise that they're making.
Uh-huh.
Or it's more that, like, dimensional stuff.
Right, like the pop.
Yeah.
Maybe the pop of... Whatever, in
like
and
the
out.
Metal doors they hear slamming in the national parks and all that stuff.
Yeah.
May not be a metal door. It may just be that that's the closest thing that
you can get to it.
Because people say car doors.
Yeah.
It sounds like a car door. And it's a sound we don't really take, you know, we don't think about.
No.
But if you're 7-8 miles out in a national park and you hear a car door slam.
Yeah.
That's a weird noise.
Absolutely it is. Yeah. And it's multiple people that have never interacted with each other sharing that same type of phenomena. So it's something to it, but we don't know what.
Ready for the next one?
Yeah.
So things progressed in the fall and the winter. At first, full bags of animal feed, which was corn and sweet feed, would just disappear. I stored the feed just inside the barn door, which I have never locked. As the cold weather set in, the chickens began to disappear, one at a time every 4 or 5 days. And when I started to think something really strange was going on, the chickens would be rounded up in the coop every evening, and there would be two doors to the coop. The outer door would be open into a small storage area, and the inside of the second door would be open into the chicken roosting area. These chickens were just vanishing from behind two latch doors. You get what he's describing?
Yeah, so...
That there's literally, like, two doors you have to go through. Right. There's not big holes ripped in the fence.
And whatever it was opening both of them.
Yes.
Yeah.
Very similar. Both... All that is very similar to our Bigfoot stuff
what you
that
dealt with.
Happened.
Yeah.
Yeah, because the feed, corn feed, ours was definitely the sweet feed.
The horse feed?
Horse feed, which is heavy in molasses, as well as goat feed is also heavy in molasses, but horse feed is actually, like... Sweet.
Which one tastes better, horse feed?
I've had both in my mouth. I've had it all in my, like, all of the different animal
feeds.
It's food. I mean, it's
right?
not great.
Yeah, I'm sure.
But it is sweet. I mean, it's molasses and grain, like, stuck together with sounds alfalfa.
Like a granola bar, basically.
I mean, yeah.
Yeah, basically.
If you ate enough of it, I think it would clear you out.
I still remember being a kid, probably like 5, and watching my dog eat his food and just being like, you know, the way she's, like, mowing that down, it must be good.
Dog food's definitely the grossest.
Oh, I know. You take a sniff, and it's like, that smells funky, but it's not bad, like, necessarily bad. Take one big bite, like cereal. Yeah, it was disgusting. Mm-hmm. I about puked. Probably should have. Didn't swallow it, but that was when I was 5. I had to been somewhere around there, and this realized, oh, well, I'm never going to eat that again.
Chicken feed just tastes like bread.
Yeah, it does. Not bad. I tried it, too.
It's not good. It's not bad. It's just... Tastes like bread.
Yeah.
So, yeah, chickens disappearing. That was a big one at our house, too. So, very, very similar. And it's, you know, happening in the winter months when, you know, food may be getting more scarce. So these are easy pickings. So, it's stealing the chickens and it's stealing whole bags of animal feed.
Mm. Yeah, that's not normal.
Which are 50 pounds of everybody that's not farm related. They're heavy. They're not.
So something's
a raccoon's not dragging off a full bag of grain.
No. So it's either a big animal
or a person.
Or a person. And by animal, it could be, you know, or supernatural Bigfoot phenomena.
I mean, there's black bear down there.
Right. So it could be that.
The doors, I mean, it would rip into the coop. It wouldn't just.
Not the door part. The feed, sure. Doors, now we're.
And black bears will take shots at animals as big as like potbelly pigs on farms and goats. And
oh, I've
stuff
seen
like
it.
That.
Yeah. You've seen the video. Well, you ever seen that video where that black bear climbs in that pig pen?
Yeah, and two boars.
And that bear is so scared?
Well, because he's seen the one little pig. Yeah. And he got in there and the two big boars came out. He's like, just goring him.
Oh, yeah, he got up over that fence like in no time back. Mm-hmm. He's not doing that again. They are just like big babies.
Black bear?
Black bear, yeah.
Yeah, I mean.
Once you challenge or scare, if you scare them, yeah.
As long as it's not a mom and a baby.
No. That's a different story.
That's different.
Yes.
Okay, so. After I changed the latches on the coop to a padlock and began locking the barn door, something started slapping the back of the house in the middle of the night. It would happen anytime from dusk to 3 or 4 a.m. On more than one occasion, I rushed outside and was just able to catch a glimpse of something rushing into the brushes.
Hmm.
Yeah, it's
so
mad.
He did see. Yeah. He's seen something, yeah.
Whatever this thing is, got habituated.
Yeah.
And is now angry.
Yeah.
It reminds me of Randy's property.
A little bit, yeah.
Some of the slapping behaviors and stuff
on
like
the side
that.
Of the house, yeah. And he asked for that too.
And
we got it.
We've heard the slapping on houses. Do you remember when we talked to the woman from the Ohio River Valley that her neighbors had done something to a Bigfoot and then they had left and then their trailer.
When they came back.
Huh?
When they left and when they came back, wasn't the trailer all like there's marks on the sides and stuff or
no,
taken off its like hitch it was sitting on? You know what I mean? Or no, that's Randy's. Randy's was taken off.
No, so this was the one where they think that their neighbors had done something to a Bigfoot.
Oh, okay.
And we talked to her, I believe, at Salt Fork.
Okay, so it's been a couple years.
Yeah. Where she was like 16 or 17, watching her little brother and sister sitting in the trailer, and something massive comes up and starts slapping the trailer while they're in it, rocking the trailer. Parents came home, and there's just big dents in the side of it and stuff like that.
Yeah.
The neighbors had moved out. Like that night.
Oh, okay.
So they think that the neighbors had done something to make the Bigfoot mad. And the Bigfoot was just taken out on everybody.
Maybe the Bigfoot was mad they moved.
Mm-hmm. Now, I think they left in the middle of the night very quickly, like the Siege of Hanobia stuff.
Oh, so you think they did something to it?
I don't know if they took a pot shot. She wasn't sure either.
Yeah.
Whether they took a pot shot at a Bigfoot or they stopped feeding it.
And that's what I'm wondering, just feeding it. Like
got angry.
Yeah.
They get scary when they're angry.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So, yeah, he's just barely catching glimpses of something running out in the woods. One evening while using the bathroom, the dogs rushed and began growling at a small window just above and behind the toilet. When they began barking, something could be heard rushing away from the house. So something was in the bathroom, the high bathroom window watching them.
So upstairs bathroom?
No, I think it's all one floor.
Okay.
But like it's one of those little bathroom window.
Yep, all the way up by the ceiling. Yeah. The little skinny ones. Yep.
That's how I imagine.
That makes sense, yeah.
I'm sure Scott will answer.
Right, yeah. Scott, follow up with us, please.
But yeah, the dogs going at it. And that reminds you a lot of the folk Arkansas stuff.
Okay, go on.
Bigfoot's peeking in the windows, especially bathrooms. I mean, that's what that one did several times.
You got you a peeping Tom, Bigfoot.
A peeping Tom. These strange things kept happening. Spring was mostly whistling and knocking, but fall and winter is when the feed would disappear and when the doors were unlocked. Okay. So whatever it was always checking to see whether they were unlocked or not, but not ripping them off the hinges.
Right, yeah. At least he was respectful.
Our last winter there, which would have been 2020 or the 2019 into 2020, we had a pig simply disappear from his stall.
Uh-oh. Wilbur.
I mean, the pig was extremely friendly and had never escaped his pen in all the years we ever had him. Somehow, overnight, he had vanished from a locked barn stall without the stall door being open, without the barn door or the fence being opened.
Wow.
So there's three doors he had made it through.
And then then left and put them all back.
Yeah.
I guess the way they were left.
They're all closed.
Yeah.
So I'm going to guess he's a potbelly pig because that's the pigs he said he had.
Yeah, yeah.
And he said he had them for years. So I'm going to guess a full-grown adult. So that's around 150 to 200 pounds.
Yeah. Nothing the raccoon's going to carry off.
And they're not like acrobats.
No.
Like goats. A goat can get out without opening nothing.
Sure.
A pig?
Not so much.
A pig?
Not so much at all.
I mean, a piglet maybe, but a full-grown potbelly pig ain't getting through no cat hole.
No.
I honestly believe one of the creatures simply reached in and scooped him up. The spring before we moved away from the property, I stepped out into the front porch early one morning and glanced to my left. My view would have been over an open field, and we had a small pond on the far end. At the edge of the pond, there was a dark chocolate brown animal. I first thought it was a large dog or a very odd-colored bear. I'd seen it drinking from the pond's edge as its head was almost near the water. After a brief moment, maybe 3 seconds, it raised up to an almost kneeling position. That's when it hit me what I was looking at. It sat there kneeling for another moment before gliding off into the wood line.
Hmm.
It wasn't a hulking monster that comes to mind when you hear Bigfoot. When it stood, it was probably only 6 to maybe 6.5 feet tall.
Hmm.
It was thick built, almost an almond shaped head. So that pointed.
Right. The cone is that what people describe as cone head.
Although I wasn't able to see facial features, nothing seemed to be protruding from the face.
So it didn't have a pronounced nose.
I didn't see anything in the shape of a nose or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
So that's it. And then they moved.
Wow. Now, that's not why they moved, right?
You have 5 new messages. Hey, Carl, it's Jen from Finance. Could you submit your expenses this week? Hey, Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, Finance. Just need those receipts today. Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week. Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again.
You have 5 new messages. Hey, Carl, it's Jen from Finance. Could you submit your expenses this week? Hey, Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, Finance. Just need those receipts today. Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week. Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again.
Now, Scott, is that why you moved or is it just time to leave the property?
Right, yeah. That's my question.
And he has a map he provided of his property and highlighted and color-coded all the things where he'd seen everything and... And the interesting thing to me is, if Scott gives us permission, I'll cut out all the roads and everything like that.
Okay.
And I would share this little map.
Yeah.
But I won't do it unless Scott gives permission.
Yeah, we'll do a follow-up episode or something.
But he gives it to where all three of the encounters he had, where the barn was, where the chicken coop was, and where the pond were pretty far away from his house.
Okay.
So his house is in the middle of the property on the one side of the pond, and he is surrounded by dense woods.
Okay.
Dense woods touches the spot in the pond, touches the chicken coop, and pretty much engulfs the barn.
So it gets right up to it, if not over it.
So these creatures don't have to, from the map provided, don't have to go into the open whatsoever to be around his property.
Yeah.
But there's a pond. It is a, I will say, I won't say what the road is, but it is a very traveled road.
Okay.
But Waterloo Park is, I know that's Hawking College students are out there all the time. And it is a crazy wildlife area.
Just a lot of animals?
A lot of animals. A lot of beaver.
Okay.
A lot of beaver. It's there's a whole beaver pond, like a whole area called the Beaver Pond.
So
which has hundreds
of
beavers.
How do they all get along?
I mean, just murder each other.
Well, I was going to say, I didn't think beavers really did that very much.
They live in big lodges with, 20 or 30 individuals in a lodge.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that.
Yeah. I mean, the giant beaver dams normally have 4 or 5 families in them.
Oh, I didn't know that.
So each family has up to 12 individuals.
I guess the only time I've ever seen beavers, it's always just like that one.
Well, I don't have, it's very rare to find the massive lodges anymore.
Oh, okay.
It's normally a family.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, exactly.
But this sounds, so what are your thoughts first, I guess, about the whole story?
Like in general, the whole thing? I mean, it sounds like he's got a legitimate, I mean, I believe, obviously, I believe him. I'm not going to say he made this up to share this story with us. No, I believe him.
I've talked to Scott online a couple times.
I think he's got a legitimate sighting here. Class A. I think this is
a bunch of Class B and then a Class A.
Yeah, then ended with a Class A. I think this is just how it kind of goes. And I'm not saying like this is a typical Bigfoot story. It's not. I mean, every single Bigfoot story in its own is an individual experience that's just wild in general.
But he shares a lot of similarities, I mean, even with my encounter.
That's what I'm going to say, yeah. It's very typical. It's the Bigfoot stories, you know what I mean?
And the size is something that I wanted to talk about, the 6 to 6.5 foot.
Yeah.
I always have trouble with the size of the one I've seen. I always said 7 foot because I was very young and I was very small.
Yeah.
And it's this hulking creature. And we've talked about in the show that fear expands the size of the thing that's scaring you dramatically. From everything we've talked several times about the psychology of rape victims to where the man, generally it's a woman that gets, assaulted by a man.
Right.
That the man is oftentimes in her mind, in the memory of the event, many times larger than he actually is.
Mm-hmm.
And same thing with people that survive animal attacks and stuff like that. Was it Stan Friedman or no? Was it Gordon? I can't remember who did the Mothman size chart. Like, in Point Pleasant, go in the loop, in all the people.
Gosh, yeah, I don't remember.
Stan Gordon,
yeah, is he the one that's still writing books now?
Yeah.
I think that's his name, Stan Gordon. Yeah, I think you're right, because I met him at Monster Fest.
Yes, very nice man.
Yeah, oh yeah.
But I think he was the one that did it where, like, 78% of the people got the size very wrong.
Okay.
Like, not close. And he had a cutout that was, I think, 3 feet, 6 feet, 12 feet. A bunch maybe in between, I can't remember.
Yeah.
And you had to go through, drive at normal speed. How big was that one?
Right.
And the 3 foot one often got called 6 foot tall.
Hmm.
And the 12 foot one, I think, got called like 14 or 15 foot tall.
Yeah.
Which is big. But what I was going to say about the smaller sized one, I think these are the more closer to the troublemaker size.
Yeah.
I think the 6 to 7 foot range is like the most of the time, the juvenile males maybe that are the teenagers, the angsty teens doing stuff, maybe not listening to mom and dad and all that stuff.
Right.
But I was going to say, Scott's Bigfoot is very reminiscent of Patty.
The size?
Size and the shape of the head.
Mm-hmm.
So I wonder if maybe this is a female Sasquatch.
Hmm.
And the home happens to be very close to what you were talking about earlier, one of the birthing areas.
Okay.
And that they're just using this, maybe, I don't know if they give birth in the winter. So a lot of big predators give birth right at the tail end of winter.
At the tail end of winter, okay.
And they do this before. So like owls and hawks and eagles will like lay eggs towards the tail end of winter. So when their chicks hatch,
there's food available.
It's springtime.
Right.
And everything's abundant again.
That makes sense.
But then a lot of herbivores do that too.
Okay.
where they're pregnant through the winter months.
Right.
You're even, you know, things like deer and stuff like that, they give birth in the spring. A lot of animals want to give birth in the spring. Predators give birth generally a little earlier than the animals start, than the herbivores start giving birth.
Okay. That makes sense.
So I wonder if maybe Bigfoot are down there in the winter months giving birth. And I don't know how their reproductive cycle flows, if it's much more closer to a human.
Or even how quickly the kids grow up.
Yeah.
You know, if it's like a human or if it's like a bird, a quail.
Mm-hmm. In my head, it's going to be, personally, if they're fully biologic or more biologic than they're not, and they're at least like us in similar ways, I don't know, genetically or whatever. Humans, why we take so long to develop is with how big a brain we start with.
Okay.
And we have to have foldable skulls.
Okay.
So you have to grow into it. There's a lot of motor function. You have to learn a lot. That's why smaller primates don't need that.
Right.
So, like, some species of monkeys born out, and they can do whatever, you know, day one or day two.
Right, yep.
And gorillas are kind of in between, where gorillas are much more independent as a baby than a human baby, but not as independent or not as mobile as a monkey baby.
Gotcha.
And an orangutan is in kind of that same boat, where they can die very easily in the trees. I think it's half of all orangutans die in their first year because they fall out of a tree because they're not coordinated.
What a sad way to go.
Mm-hmm. So I wonder if this is one of those Bigfoot birthing areas, if this is a female that's
close enough to it.
That, or maybe it's her kids messing with him.
Yeah. Or it's their kids that are, like you mentioned at the beginning, the migration. You know, if it's one of those juvenile Bigfoots, the males that are just out of it's close enough to home, but it's found his place and could see the food sources available. And just like it happened on yours. And just taking advantage of that until he locks everything up. And jerk.
I'm going to imagine that same thing, another comparison to my thing. I'm going to imagine that other farms were experiencing these same things.
Yeah. That'd be curious for him to, if he ever followed up, you know, asked anyone around
him. I don't know how far away he moved.
Right. Yeah.
But
I mean, at the time while it was happening, if
he's very close to where Nick lives. And, I believe Nick's never had a Bigfoot encounter or anything like that.
Has he had anything ever weird, though?
He did. I was going to tell you. A couple times early, in super early morning, like 4 or 5 a.m., he's heard noises up on the hills.
Yeah.
And he's like, they weren't coyotes and they weren't bobcats, because you remember the bobcat we heard when we were tent camping out there.
I do.
And I'm laughing because you're like, what was that? Because it sounds like a monster.
Yeah.
I'm about to pee myself laughing because it's just a bobcat.
Yeah, but it's close.
Oh, no. And you were... in the little tiny taco tent.
Yeah. I mean, I wasn't scared I was going to die.
No, but it's a scary noise.
It was just like, yeah. I have a flap of fabric.
Is that a demon?
Between me and that, yeah. And I'm in there by myself.
I was more scared of the coyotes.
Yeah. I don't know. We weren't even packing either.
No, but I mean, there was a pack of German shepherds that would
patrol
our tent every couple hours.
That was a good safety feature.
Very large German shepherds. And then his pig, I think they took his pig.
Probably. I don't think a pig just disappears.
I mean, that reminds me of the Brown property, right? Where they started taking the chickens and stuff like that.
And it ramped up slowly?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But Stacy Brown, I believe she asked the Bigfoot for her favorite chicken back, and they brought it back.
Which is pretty wild.
You should have asked for your pig back.
Yeah, maybe that.
Especially if there was no blood. But, I mean, yeah.
That would have been curious.
Because I do think sometimes they take animals just because they're bored.
Like they just want to
go play with an animal.
That, or maybe they see, or they know, like, as we're doing it, and it's, they just want that too. I don't know.
Yeah, no, I think it's a boredom thing where it's like, well, the humans play with this thing, I'm gonna go play with this thing.
Yeah, I'm gonna feed it now and then I'll eat it later.
Like, people, there's several Ohio stories about people seeing Bigfoot in the fields with horses and cattle.
Yeah.
Drinking milk from cows.
Braiding horses' hair,
walking with horses and stuff like that. And horses aren't normally freaked out because, first off, they're probably used to the smell of the Bigfoot being around in the woods. And it's probably human enough to where, like, if it approaches it carefully a couple times, then the horses start recognizing it. Okay.
Yeah.
But just, you know, he's harmless.
Like, if you're a human, an upright, bipedal thing walking towards you calmly, you're just used to that. Yeah. Why would it be scared?
So, yeah, I think, Scott, I think you may have, I mean, several different things could be happening, and nobody will ever know. We will never know. You'll never know.
Like it could be a whole series of coincidences besides this actual sightings.
It could be my buddy Skunk.
Yeah, Skunk could be coming up and taking some horse feed and trading it, or chicken feed and trading it for fishing hooks. Who knows, in the woods.
If anybody doesn't remember that story, there's a lot of homeless people in Hocking and Wayne National Forest.
And Skunk's one of them.
Skunk's one of them. He's a huge, hairy man.
Homeless by choice.
Homeless. He is. There are others that are not.
Are not, correct. But they end up there.
Yeah.
But that community itself chooses
to remain away from everybody. Correct. Because there's a lot of mental illness in it and stuff like that. They're not bad people.
No, just, not at all.
A lot of them had one too many hard days.
I guess. And I admire them for doing that and living that lifestyle. Like,
but
it's admirable to me.
Skunk had like hair down to his butt, big beard. His clothes are very tattered.
Yeah.
And he would walk through the Hocking River right near the highway. And there are several, if you go onto the BFRO and some other organizations that have like Bigfoot reports, there are several reports from the seeing a Bigfoot walking across
the river.
The river there on the highway. And I
just Skunk.
I about 100% guarantee it was him.
Most, 95% of the time, probably.
Especially because they're in broad daylight sightings. And he would just, because he'd walk and fish.
Okay, yeah. So, yeah.
He's just walking through the river, but he looks like, if you just see him for a couple seconds
driving by.
Yeah, on the highway, you're going 60, 70 miles an hour, and you just look down, and there's a, because he's like 6 foot something.
Okay, big guy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I mean, I think there's big, I think you had Bigfoot activity. I think you've seen a Bigfoot.
Absolutely.
Whatever Bigfoot is.
Absolutely. I'm glad he shared it with us, and we can share it on here, because for the people out there that, you know, are the biggest skeptics, the hunters that go out in the woods and they never see anything, so it's there's no way it can exist, because if it would exist, I would have seen it by now, because I'm a hunter and I'm always out there. I hear it every day just about when we talk about this stuff. But these are just, this is just another one of the stories that will be get lost to time if you didn't share it with us and we guys publish it publicly for you on this so people can hear it. I mean, these stories will just get lost. So when people say, you know, this stuff can exist, well, here's an example. Here's an example of just one of thousands of stories people have had accounts. If all these stories are lies, then that's a huge collective lie that they're all like experiencing together somehow. But even if just 10% of them are true, that's a lot. That's a lot of true sightings.
So they, you know, the rough numbers, it's about 3,000 sightings a year in the U.S.
Yes, continental U.S.
Yes, continental U.S., not counting Alaska.
Or Hawaii, but Hawaii has zero.
Hawaii has zero. They have other extremely fascinating cryptids and entities.
Minnehuni.
The Minnehuni. But no Bigfoot. And I'm a firm believer there's probably no Bigfoot in Hawaii, unless they're visiting.
Yeah, I mean, that either visiting or they got swept up by a tornado and landed there.
That is a big tornado.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that whale that ended up, or the tsunami, maybe he got swept up by he was swimming and a water spout picked him up, and then he landed on a tsunami wave and it dropped him in Hawaii.
Surfing.
Yeah.
Bigfoot surfed from California all the way to Hawaii on one wave.
And he's just there now, and he's like, you know what? This is great.
But generally, I think waves go the other way. Well, that's fine.
He got the special one. You don't know where the water spout dumped him, though. Yeah. That sounds like a movie or a sitcom.
It could easily be.
Bigfoot in Hawaii. And he's trying to blend in with like the locals.
Bigfoot PI in Hawaii.
Why PI?
I don't know. It just made, I had that vid, like the
Magnum
the
PI. Old,
yeah, the Magnum PI, yeah. And Bigfoot's on the surfboard and it's playing the music.
With sunglasses and a Hawaiian
shirt.
He's
looking into a murder.
You're right, yeah.
Now you made me. But yeah, so if 3,000 sightings, if 10% of them are 100% unidentified megafauna, that's still 300 Bigfoot sightings that are extremely credible a year.
Right.
And I think the number is obviously, I'm going higher. The other way. That it's much higher.
Because I'd say about only 5% of the stories get reported.
Oh, yeah, if that.
So
I think the one of the survey companies that, you know, does just national surveys, all kinds of stuff. I think there was a UFO one, I think last year or the year before, is how many people in the U.S. have seen UFOs, and it's like 60%. It's over half.
Mm-hmm.
And it's less than 10% report them to any kind of organization.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's COP or UFO reporting sites or Facebook or anything like that. It's
right.
It's less than 10%. So 60% of the population has seen a UFO. And that just means, doesn't mean aliens. It just means a weird thing in the sky.
Right. Could be a balloon, like a weird balloon, a weird blimp.
Those giant drones.
Or a giant hot air balloon during a storm that only lights up when it lightnings.
That was terrifying.
I know.
It was Darth Vader. It was Darth Vader's helmet. Very scary. Now you got me off track again.
Oh, just the sightings, the legitimacy, even if 10% of the UFO sightings are real.
Yeah, and like you were saying, that I'm going to, it's probably less than 5% of Bigfoot sightings ever get reported.
Yeah.
In any meaningful way.
Right.
And that could even be just telling somebody else.
Right. Yeah, true. Just telling your friends or whoever. Mm-hmm. I'd say most people just keep it to themselves.
100%.
Because you don't want to seem like that crazy person.
And that matters what kind of Bigfoot sighting you had.
That's true.
If you
too.
Had the real mild ones and you still, and those people don't feel like sharing.
Yeah.
The scarier ones. Like the odd ones, mm-hmm. you know, the more either magical or interdimensional or terrifying.
Right.
And like everybody, you know, Shannon LeGros, Into the Fray podcast, you know, she asked everybody that comes on that has a Bigfoot sighting, she always asks, you know, do you want to see it again? And I always find that question super fascinating, especially on her for the people that she interviews.
Yeah.
Because she has the whole gambit of people that are, oh, I talked to Bigfoot and you know, they had this super scary sightings, and I don't even want to go in the woods ever again.
Right, yeah.
And I'm very thankful I didn't have that, and I know it could have easily happened.
Oh, yeah.
Whether the animal or the individual was going to hurt me or not is irrelevant. It's the fear that is associated with the interaction.
Correct. And you didn't have that going afterwards.
I had it for a long time, but not permanent.
You're right. Not the I'm never going to the woods again interaction, yeah. Yeah, that would suck.
But yeah, thank you for sharing, Scott.
Yeah.
Let us know what you think.
Oh, I was in the woods this weekend behind my house just walking around, mm-hmm. and I was looking for, I was checking the mayflower or mayapples,
mm-hmm.
but I came across a deer skull.
Yeah.
Just the skull with the antler still on it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, buck skull. But it wasn't, I was like, oh man, if this was like stripped clean, it was gross. It was dirty.
Oh, still had meat on it?
Yeah, but it was just the head with the antler still on it. I thought that was kind of weird.
Was it cut off?
Maybe I assume it was dragged there. Head.
I'm gonna guess it was dug up, because what a lot of people will do to get the skull clean is they'll cut it and bury it.
Hmm.
And you got to watch it because coyotes will dig it up and take it.
Oh, gotcha.
Because if you bury it, the decomposers will eat away everything.
Right.
It's not bone.
Right.
I know my siblings have done that with some skulls, but we've lost them to dogs and coyotes.
Oh, I bet.
They'll dig them up and just take them into the woods.
This one, I wonder if that's what, I don't know. It still had a lot of meat on it.
It takes
flesh.
Like a year or two.
It had a lot of flesh on it.
And deer season, I mean, it's been over for a couple months, but it still could be it.
Yeah, it could be.
All right. I've been the great and powerful mystery.
And I've been J Clone 1147.
We'll catch you next week, guys.
Bye. Bye.
Hey guys, thank you for listening to Cryptids of the Corn podcast. Remember, the best way to support the show is share it with a friend. But if you are craving more of the J Clones
and more from Mr. E,
there's always extra content on Patreon
and our paid member space on cryptidsofthecorn.com.
We'll catch you next time with more exciting, fun, and informative information.
Bye! Bye.
You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books, and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system, so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again. Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.